Lord, we give you thanks and praise as we enter this fourth week of Easter, that you are indeed our good shepherd, and we live in a world filled with noise, violence, chaos, and that sometimes it's really hard to hear that still small voice resonating inside of our souls. So help us through the grace of the Holy Spirit to grow in our discernment, to hear your voice and to follow you, and to always give thanks that you will never abandon us, but walk with us through all of our life experiences. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Good morning. So we do need the Good Shepherd to help us because the climb is steep sometimes and the lots of obstacles, and he's not only the way, but he knows the way and wants to guide and instruct us. I was thinking of Isaiah 30:18, you know, that the Lord will no longer be hidden. It says, surely your teacher will no longer be hidden, but will guide you, and you'll hear his voice, and he will tell you to go to the right or the left. And during this time of transition for all of us as an archdiocese, it's very important for us to really trust in that the Lord is going to guide us and show us what we need to do in the days ahead. I recently, on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this past week, I attended a retreat for all of the pastors in the archdiocese along with the archbishop. And then on Friday, all of the parochial vicars or associate pastors joined us, and we had a Mass of the Holy Spirit. And it was a very good experience because it made me realize that, you know, there are many voices in the world. There's our own voice, you know, where we speak to ourselves, and sometimes it's in alignment with God. Sometimes it's not. There's the devil, you know, who lies to us and puts us down and mounts us to be anxious. And then there's the voice of the Good Shepherd. And I think over the 3 days, I probably heard each one of those voices in my experience on this retreat. But we know that when we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, it always brings about a sense of confidence and comfort that he never lies to us or puts us down. He only speaks the truth, right? He doesn't bend the truth, but speaks the truth that the second reading, 1 John, see what love the Father has for us, that we're called children of God, and so we are. And that's what God wants us to hear, but we have all this other noise in our world today that makes it really hard to hear that voice. So it's a great thing to go away for a few days and just say, Lord, I don't think I'm hearing you clearly. Can you please speak a word of encouragement to me? And watch what he'll do. He'll do it. He's faithful. He's not going to abandon us. And thinking about our experience, I was reminded of the story of Caleb in the Old Testament. You know, the people of Israel had gone through many trials and tribulations to get to the Promised Land. And they wandered around for 40 years, and many died before they got in there. But at the very end, as they're getting ready to go, and Moses is going to bow out, and Joshua will be in charge, Moses sent spies into the land to survey it and to see what it looked like. And so they came back, and the majority of the people spread a very negative report. They're very cynical and pessimistic, and they really got the Lord's dander up, if you will. But Caleb was one who did not do that. He said, hey, if God has led us this far, surely he's going to lead us into the land and fulfill his promise, right? Here's what he said. The land that we went through as spies is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are no more than bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And this is how the people responded. But the whole congregation threatened to stone them. Now, I hope that's not your response to the partners of the gospel. You know, we need more Calebs in our congregation. People who are believing in the goodness of God and that he's faithful and he's going to fulfill his promise. You know, even if we don't like the challenges we have to face, We look for the support of the Lord and his faithfulness. And during this retreat, he reminded me, you know, I've been walking with you 54 years. I've gotten you through like 6 major operations. The last one really messed up my left lung and decreased it. But all these transitions too, he's always been there faithfully walking with me. And he has an amazing track record. Mine, not so good. You know, needs improvement, like my report cards with math. Needs improvement, needs improvement, needs improvement. So as you go back in your own life, I hope you can see that the Lord has been faithfully walking with you. He cares for you. He loves you, and he wants to reveal himself more to you and more to me. And we need to just ask for that. Lord, help me to hear your voice. What do you have? Do you have a word for me today? Do you have some sense of guidance or instruction for me in the path I should walk for you or what I should do for you today? And you just sit quietly and open your Bible and watch what he'll do. He'll start to guide you and direct your attention. And he's not like us. He's not flaky. He fulfills what he says he's going to do. And then later on in Numbers 23, it says the following. Someone pointed this out to me once. God is not a human being that he should lie, or a mortal that he should change his mind. Has he promised, and will he not do it? Has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? So we need to really be trusting that in the days ahead, as we move forward, that God is with us. And people are watching us, you know. We're witnessing to the power of our faith by the way we handle the challenges around us. That is the most profound witness we can offer, is when things are going in a way that maybe we don't understand or we don't necessarily like. We still faithfully worship the Lord and praise him and believe that he will bring to fulfillment his promise to all of us and to his church. So we really need to be looking for that. And I mentioned this a few months ago, or actually when I came back from Boston last summer, but we need to be praying for the gift of prophecy. And the word of prophecy is to comfort, encourage, and edify. And you were baptized. I did 24 confirmations yesterday, about 10 baptisms. You're anointed priest, prophet, and king. A prophet, speak those prophetic words to comfort people around you who are anxious because things are going in a difficult direction in their life. We all are capable of speaking words of comfort to the people around us. Amen. And even this last weekend with all the other priests, I was trying to be aware of that. Like, speak words of comfort to your brother priests. We're all, you know, concerned about the future, and there are a lot of changes. And I met with Father Todd, your new pastor. He's asking me all kinds of questions. I could answer some of them. Some I couldn't. But, you know, trying to just call all of us to a deeper faith that God is with us. And yes, we have to go through these transitions and speak words of comfort, encourage people, and edify them. We're all capable of doing that. And then lastly, you know, pray for more joy. I remember I started cantering in church when I was in sixth grade. And so I'd sing the psalms and all the songs for Mass and everything. And I remember at one point, as I got a little older and got into high school, you know, the psalms, shout with joy to the Lord, clap your hands. And I thought, you know, people don't get that excited about God. I don't see people getting excited in front of me when I sing those words, and I wasn't necessarily all excited either to be able to express my faith and understand that God wants us to have that joy that only he can bring. So yesterday when I was doing those confirmations and the baptisms, you know, I noticed not a lot of people were smiling. So I have an announcement from the Lord. He gives us permission to smile and be happy that we're here today. And they all kind of looked at me like, what's he on? Our worship should be vibrant and dynamic. Amen? Amen. And sometimes people just, they look like they're about getting ready for a root canal or something. It's like, you guys, oh gosh, what a drag. I have to go up and receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. Oh, what could be worse? Seriously? We should be trembling with joy and gratitude every time we come and approach the Lord and receive him in Holy Communion. But that's not always what we see in our congregations. Amen? And people are watching us. It's like, what are you guys all about? You know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Really? I'm not seeing it. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. I just believe we need more joy. And I want to say that in context of the Life and the Spirit seminar coming up. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was going to daily Mass as much as I could. I had to work at JCPenney's and do other stuff to get money for college. Whenever I could, I would go to daily Mass. When I experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Mass became a totally different experience for me. It became alive in a way that I hadn't known, and I understand now those psalms that talk about joy, shout for joy. I remember driving over here in my little VW Beetle, you know, and listening to some Christian music and just getting so excited, I lifted my hand and realized, you better put that back on the steering wheel. I don't think the Holy Spirit's driving your car right now. But I was just so excited that God was beginning to move my life in a direction. I just had to have some way of expressing it because I was excited. Like, God is working with me personally, and He has a plan for my life, and that's exciting, right? So the more we yield and open ourselves to the Holy Spirit, the more joy is going to come into our lives. Joy is a sure sign of the presence of God, right? So we need more joy. I shared this with you maybe a year and a half ago. I'm going to share it again. Benedict XVI was giving a Wednesday audience in November, and he's quoting a certain section in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 where he's talking about order, St. Paul, in the congregation, how we worship and how it should be vibrant and dynamic. So he says the following. This is our definition. We belong among those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we clearly understand how desirable it is that what Paul himself was hoping for when he wrote to the Corinthians should come to pass. If an unbeliever or an uninitiated enters while all are uttering prophecy, he will be taken to task by all and called to account by all, and the secret of his heart will be laid bare. Falling prostrate, he will worship God, crying out, God is truly among you. God is truly among you. Our liturgical encounters, aka Mass, should be like this. A non-Christian who enters one of our assemblies, aka St. Thomas Catholic Parish, ought finally to be able to say, God is truly with you. Let us pray to the Lord to be like this, in communion with Christ and in communion among ourselves. What a beautiful message, and most people didn't see it, but I saw it, and I'm like, what? He said that? All of our Masses and our liturgical celebrations should be like that. Someone walks into this church who's never been to a Catholic Mass, and they're like, something incredible is happening in here. What's going on? And that's not just my responsibility to enter. It's all of ours to actively participate in the Mass, to be engaged, and that Jesus is the focal point, not me, not the music, nothing. He's the focal point. We're giving glory to God for the wonderful gift of redemption He gave to us when He laid down His life for our sins. And so all of our celebrations should be like that. I think we could say, like my report card, needs improvement. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just give you thanks and praise as we continue our celebration of Easter. And amidst all the twists and turns that are coming around the corner, we trust in you. We believe in your faithfulness and that you will provide exceedingly and abundantly for all of our needs. So help us to be like Caleb and to use words for edification, not to tear down, but to build up. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.